In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly He is risen.
Christos voskrese. To dear brothers and sisters, on this fourth Sunday of Pascha already, mid-Pentecost is coming up this week, we have a story that shows us about baptism. It shows us many other things too. I'm going to choose to focus on baptism right now. But I recently wrote, most of you must have gotten it, about something that St. John Chrysostom said in his sermons, about how we hear the holy things in church, we hear them preached, we hear the scriptures read, and then we go home and we attend to our business and it all dissipates and goes away as if it never was. And I propose that we would sometimes talk about holy things, perhaps after the liturgy, or you do it in your home. This is what that St. John was talking about. And I want to just give you some ideas here, just quickly, about what I'm not going to talk about, but I could. This was right around the time of the Feast of Pentecost. The Jewish Feast of Pentecost is a fascinating thing to discuss, and it has significance for the Christian feast. About baptism, about the character of the paralytic. He was a sinner, but also about his good character. The reaction of the Jewish leaders, types and figures in general in the Old Testament and the New, the water, the troubling of the water, and the healing in the water is a type of baptism. And the use of water in general in the Old Testament for cleansing was to get the Jews and subsequently us to be accustomed to water as a cleansing agent. God chooses to use water to bring us into the church. The meaning of healing on the Sabbath. Why was he healed on the Sabbath? And why would the Jews be so angry about that? The effects of sin? What does it mean to be made whole? He asked the man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" What does that mean? He wasn't talking about just having his legs work. Those are just a few ideas. Things that we as a family could speak about, either in total or in your homes, before you go to, the latest television program, or to read a magazine, or to do this, or to do that, and it all goes away and flies away like little butterflies and they're gone. We could speak about holy things, and we could try to have some of it actually percolate down into our hard hearts and stay there. Those are just some ideas. Now, the man had been a paralytic for 38 years. That is a lifetime. During that period of time, it was very close to a lifetime. So it's meant to show the entirety of the human life. The entirety of our existence. Our entire condition. And he was paralyzed. Paralyzed by sin, as we see later, when the Lord speaks to him. And so the Lord asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He says, "I don't have anybody to help me." So the Lord immediately heals him. But he says he heals him in a very important way that we must take note of. He says to him, with no pretense, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." This is a description of baptism. The rising is made able to rise because of our Lord baptizing, bringing us into the church, giving us of His holy body and blood. So He gives us the ability, then He commands us. Baptism is enabling us to become good. Without it, we can't really become completely good. It's always an unreachable goal. So the Lord enables, merely with His voice enables, or merely with water enables, and Then he commands, rise. Be part of the resurrection. Live in the resurrection. Don't think the resurrection is something far away. The resurrection is very near. The resurrection is within you. Or I should say that the Scripture says, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It means the same. Then what does he say? Immediately, without pausing, and walk. This is the Sabbath day, a day of rest. And the Lord is telling the man to work. What kind of work? The work of learning and following the commandments. And why? Because later on, when he sees the man who had obeyed him, because what did he do? He walked. And where did he walk to? Did he go to the neighborhood bar? No. He walked to the temple to give thanks to God. And the Lord found him there, knowing he'd be there. And what did he say? Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee. So, of course, we could talk about the two healings, the healings of his legs and the healing of his soul. To the Lord, it is all the same. It's the human, us, that he wants to be made whole. And he says to the man, don't sin anymore. So, when we are baptized, we have the ability to rise. And we're told, rise. And we are told to walk. To walk in the commandments. To work. And this healing is a process. For the man, his legs became whole immediately. But not his soul. Now he made a very good beginning by going to the temple to pray. But the Lord then warned him and admonished him, don't sin anymore. Now he had the ability not to sin, because the Lord had given it to him. Don't sin anymore or a worse thing will befall you. Not that you'll become a paralytic again, but that your soul will die. The reason we follow the commandments is to be whole. I speak of this again and again because our entire society speaks of commandments, speaks of rules as things that are to either be enforced with rigor and without any quarter, or to be ignored, or to be kind of bent, or to be kind of manipulated, because it's just, well, that was then, this is now, and after all, we're only human, and, you know, genetics and environment and all this other stuff. The commandments are the way of life. And the Lord gives us the ability to follow the commandments from baptism. This is a fundamental dogma of our faith. With baptism comes ability. And the Lord helps. But he does not walk for us. He told the man immediately to walk. And that is what we are to do. This is a perfect description of baptism. Both what it does for us and what it makes us, what it requires of us. Because, have no doubts, the Lord requires something of you. Wishy-washy Christianity that sort of is just God just dispensing blessings from the sky. That is wishful thinking. That is self-centered thinking. That doesn't get you anywhere. Laziness and shiftlessness and having no priorities, that doesn't get you anywhere. The Lord told him to walk. Now he chose the right place to walk to. Where are we going to walk? The Lord has given us the ability now. You see the saints around us? There is no good reason why we shouldn't be as they. There isn't. They were sinners, we're sinners. They believe in God, we believe in God. You could say, oh, I'm more sinful than them. Oh, that is an excuse. The Lord will help. But we have to walk. What a marvelous description of baptism this is. What I love about the Scriptures, one of the many things I love, is it describes things without being, without saying it in so many words exactly, right? This is a perfect description of baptism. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Here he is before water. The water is a type of baptism. The Lord is the one who saves. The man says, I cannot find anyone to help me, but the Lord will help. And so, through baptism, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Be made whole. But being made whole is the process of our life. How wonderfully delicious the Scriptures are. How fragrant they are. They tell us of life. They tell us how to obtain life. They tell us what life is. Now, we might be able to read what life is, but we will not understand until we have walked in that way of life. We won't know God until we become like Him. We won't be whole until we are walking. Sometimes stumbling, sometimes falling. But always attempting to walk, and the Lord will help. You know the story of St. Mary of Egypt. What a marvelous thing. She was baptized and then didn't see a church again until she went for the veneration of the cross. It had been some 30 years. She was about 30 years old at the time. It'd been 16 years or something. And she said herself that she lived a wanton and careless and horrible life. But she was guarded by baptism. And then when she decided to finally walk, the Lord helped her to walk. And what did she do? She became an angel in the flesh. Any one of you more sinful than her? So is there any reason why any one of you can't become like her? There is no reason. Except ourselves. Except our own laziness. Baptism occurred a while ago. Perhaps we've forgotten what the Lord said when we were baptized. He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And that command is still in full force. So let us rise and take up our bed and walk. Let us live in the Spirit. Let us follow the commandments. And if you say to me, oh, well, I can't follow all the commandments. I'm sinning all the time. Do you not read the Scriptures? Is there not recourse for this problem? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Any problem that you would submit to me, you can find an answer for it in the dogma of the Church, in our holy tradition, in the Holy Scriptures. So if you can't follow all the commandments and follow as many as you can right now, you'll follow more later. Just don't give yourself an excuse for the ones you're not following now. Walk. If you can't walk completely in a balanced gait, walk as well as you can. And eventually you will walk straight according to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we're aiming for. And that is what baptism gives us. And that is what the Lord is telling us today, walk. Brothers and sisters, let's walk. Let's walk the Christian life. And let's be completely whole. Let's not settle for what we are now. Anybody want to be what they are now? Anybody want to stay in this condition? We're all like the paralytic on some way, right? There's different parts of us that are paralyzed, different parts of us that we don't like, different dark parts, repetitive parts that we wish would stop repeating. A lot of stuff. Anybody want to stay that way? I don't. If you're a Christian, you are stating, I don't want to be like this. I want to be changed. All right, here's how to be changed. Be baptized and walk. The Lord will help you with the walking. Amen.